Howdy, folks. Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side with the adjunct to the March 5th, 2016 show. Two things I didn't cover, and I promised you AM listeners I would, and you web listeners, of course. You have, we hope, the distinctive pleasure of listening to my adjuncts when I do them to the AM shows. So, number one, Romney and the Republican establishment, and number two, the price of oil and Saudi Arabia. Let's start with number one. I had always had great respect for Mitt Romney. I voted for him relatively enthusiastically in 2012. I was very disappointed in the campaign he ran, particularly the last month of it. And I was particularly disappointed in his performance in the, it was the second debate when Candy Crowley decided that she was on the stage with the debaters and incorrectly asserted that Obama had used the word terror in his Rose Garden speech. And I don't know if you remember those details, but Romney looked like a deer in the headlights. And when he had a chance to put the election away right then and there, he could have turned around to Crowley and said, "I didn't realize you were running for president or that you were part of this debate," which would have shut her up. And then turned around to Obama and said, "That's entirely incorrect. Why don't you repeat for the nation exactly what your words were, and we can play it against a video?" And he would have won the election right then and there. Instead, he faltered, he foddered, his eyes grew wide, and his lower lip, it was just terrible, terrible moment. I think he lost the election that moment, and then that was exacerbated by Chris Christie, kissing Obama on the beach in New Jersey and whatever else. So, up to 2 days ago, I had always respected Mitt Romney, and I would have always thought he would have been a great president, and he may well have been. But let me tell you, him coming out, I don't care whether it's against Trump or any other person, that a majority of the Republican Party, the little guys, you and me, are voting for, and repeating false statements in as vicious an attack as I have heard ever from a Democrat on a Republican, never mind a Republican on a Republican, is beyond comprehension. And he lost forever all my respect. Because anybody who is so wed and so blind to so-called conservative principles and the so-called Republican Party, putting aside that he represented neither well 4 years ago and got his butt kicked by a socialist Islamist or a communist Islamist, however you want to look at it, is beyond reason. The hand-wringing by a number of people in Congress and the Senate saying they wouldn't support Trump, the bombast from the National Review and that whole crowd of conservative elites that, perhaps the Republicans should run a third true conservative candidate, which, of course, Hillary Clinton doesn't even have to campaign. She'll just win. Even floating out the name of Bloomberg. Really? The guy who's anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment, and tells you how much soda you can drink. This is suddenly a conservative that the Republican Party will back as an alternative candidate to Donald Trump. Wow. Holy smokes. This brought home, and by the way, in this same week, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, great negotiators that they are, go to the White House. They don't ask that the White House come to them, to talk about the Supreme Court nomination, who we find out might be a Circuit Court of Appeals judge, liberal, of course, and a female, from Iowa, and the head of the Judiciary Committee that would decide whether or not to hold hearings and whether or not to pass or, out of hearings to a full Senate hearing and vote, is none other than Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Now, you don't think Obama and his team are smart, and you don't think that the Republican elite supposedly representing us, i.e. McConnell and Ryan and whatever, are dumb, or worse, you know, I'm sorry, then you, well, you know, you live in La La Land. So I am absolutely pissed off even more than I was prior. If you listen to my, I'm sure you did, you listened to the main show today about the omnibus spending bill, which, by the way, funded Syrian refugees, funded Obamacare, funded illegal amnesty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of which they said they wouldn't do. I am disgusted with Republican elites. And I might add, in some way I can't define, pushes me to vote for Trump. Just because, and this is one thing I didn't talk about on the main show, I don't think he gives a damn. He'll go in there and chop off anybody's head he has to chop off, if for no other reason to make himself look good. And there's a lot of heads that need to get chopped off in this government. I mean, this government needs to go from its current, whatever it is, 14 million, whatever, direct and indirect employees to about 4. And the departments and agencies need to be cut in half. And those that remain, with very few exceptions, need to be cut by a third. So I am not happy with Mitt Romney. I am not happy with Marco Rubio. I'm just not happy with the Republican establishment, let me tell you. Anybody who would put their personal power, their elite status, in the context of we know better than you do voters and the lowly people of the party, ahead of the interests of, number one, the United States, because Hillary Clinton will not be good for the United States. And number two, the interests, the true interests of the conservative movement and the Republican Party. Not that that is synonymous when it comes to many of these people. Is, you know, they just don't deserve respect. So, that's my take on the Republican elite and Mitt Romney. Now, the price of oil. I told you, and I think you can probably type this in the search bar and listen to the show, but it was in the last 48 weeks. I told you that the price of oil would probably dip lower, and it would be higher, perhaps much higher, by the end of this year. That's not what everybody was forecasting. They were forecasting $20 a barrel oil and $10 a barrel oil, and, oh, I think somebody projected $6 barrel oil. Look, folks, as long as there's cars, as long as there's factories, and as long as everybody lives in a house that needs heat, the price of oil is not going to go to $6 a barrel. Unless it's for a very brief period, during a period of hyper deflation that will quickly be followed by a rapid inflation. We've talked about all that. So, sure enough, oil dipped, I believe it was week before last, down to a low of $26 and change per barrel. And then, in the last week and a half, it has rocketed more than 30% from that low. And it closed yesterday, Friday, March 4th, I think in the $34 to $35 barrel range. I mean, the exact number is not important. The difference between the high and the low 2 weeks ago to now is important. And this is despite the fact that Iran is bringing oil upstream now that the sanctions have been lifted. Thank you, Barry and Valerie and Harry and Nancy. And their tankers are starting to set sail for European ports, tankers that have been idled for years because of the sanctions that are filled with oil. This is despite no fall off in production yet from the American fields. This is despite record inventory reports just a few weeks ago. I mean, like more oil, people are putting oil in swimming pools. I mean, that's how much oil is on the planet. And this is despite slowing economies, which means not a cessation of the use of oil, but less oil being used, obviously. Now, what is causing the price of oil to rise? Part of it could certainly be people looking down the road and saying, you know, when these economies recover, or if they recover, or whatever, there's going to be more oil used. Some people are looking down the line saying, you know, as the population grows, more oil is going to be used. Other people are looking down the line saying, you know, people are getting their costs under control. American shale producers, the good ones, can get oil out of the ground, folks, at, you know, $15 to $20 a barrel. The Saudis need $60 a barrel to break even. The Canadians, who are, of course, are suffering hugely, have an even higher cost because of the tar sands extraction process. So, here's what we come down to. Something is making oil go up. It's probably, to a small degree, a combination of all those other factors. But here's what's really making it go up, and you haven't seen anything on this. However, if you watch news feeds or Twitter feeds from the Middle East, you will see that over the last week or two, there's huge unrest in Saudi Arabia. I forecast this 6 months ago. I said the Saudis could very well see a war or civil war in the coming year. That is now 2016. Particularly, at this time it wasn't done, with the Iran deal, if the Iranians, who are the Saudis' bitter enemies, the Saudis are Sunnis, the Iranians are Shiite. Saudi has been the big dog in the Middle East. Now Iran is becoming the big dog in the Middle East. Their forces are in direct combat situations in Yemen, in Libya, and according to the Saudis, soon to be in direct confrontation in Syria, where the Saudis have threatened to send 150,000 troops to, quote-unquote, fight ISIS. We'll see. So, with the Iranians having all that money, and the western provinces, the most oil-rich provinces of Saudi Arabia, being mostly Shiite, you don't think the Iranians aren't funneling money and arms, etc., to the Shias in Saudi Arabia to create internal strife? Really? You don't think so, huh? And Saudi Arabia, by the way, remains, along with the United States and Russia, one of the top three oil producers on the planet. Now, these Twitters and news feeds and all this stuff, if they can be believed, I mean, there's no Western reporting on it, so who the hell knows what's going on, really. But it shows tens of thousands of people in the street rioting. Supposedly, there was a huge riot of like 6,000 workers outside the Grand Mecca, the Mecca of Meccas, the Mosque of Mosques in Saudi Arabia, just a few days ago, protesting, by the way, according to them and according to, you know, non-news sources, that they were protesting not having been paid for 6 months. Understand that in Saudi Arabia, 90% of all the people who work in one way, shape, or form for the government. Saudi Arabia keeps peace within its borders, the hierarchy there, the monarchy there, by basically buying everybody off. It's like the ultimate entitlement state. You support us and don't rise up, and we'll take care of your every need, give you a job, give you a car, give you a house, we'll do everything for you. Well, you know, with oil way down, which the Saudis, of course, forced with their production, the Saudis are losing their butts. They need $60 a barrel to break even, give or take. With oil at $30, give or take, per barrel, they're losing their butts. So whether or not they are to the point where they can't pay the people who are working for them, or some of them, I don't know. But I do know that if you connect all the dots, the prospect of unrest in Saudi Arabia, war and civil war, were high 6 months ago, and I think are beginning to manifest themselves now. And I think that the oil markets, which, by the way, are international, in other words, there's people who trade in the oil markets who know a lot more than the American traders, and who have news sources other than the American quote-unquote press. And something's going on, and I think it has to do with Saudi Arabia. And I think you're going to see a relatively significant, I don't know how rapid, continued rise with certain dips, etc., in the price of oil, and way before I originally thought it was going to happen, which was the end of 2016. This is just the beginning of March. So, a word to the wise, and for those of you who have fuel tanks out on the ranch and propane tanks behind your house, this would be a really good time to fill them up. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side with the adjunct to the AM show for March 5th, 2016. You folks have a great week.